Titwanks.
God. Excellent. I have a friend whose like go-to insult is like titwank, and you know
it's that, horrible.
You know that she says it with such venom that you know she must have had a bad experience, and she'll never admit to it. I'm like, who titwanked you?
It's hard to look interested in the moment. It's quite boring. Yeah.
This is what the podcast should be.
Yeah, it's recording. So, So segueing from titwanks into what we were talking about this time around on the BAM Comics Cast.
Is that your intro?
Sort of. You could do a better intro, though.
Do you want me to do a better intro?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Do a showbiz intro.
All right.
Guys, it's become a bit like 80s sitcom, isn't it?
It's because I've got involved.
That's it. Mrs. Slocum. Right, let's cut to the intro. Come on, Neil.
All right, let me just do a little showbiz burp. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the BAM Comic Podcast, episode 3, issue 3. Starring me, Neil Gortz, joined as always by Stu Taylor. Say hello, Stu.
Hello, Stu.
And this time, we've joined by an extra cast member who's even a girl! Imagine that, a girl. Hello, resident girl, Carly.
Hello.
Here we go.
Tell us what is in the show today, Stu.
Well, apart from alienating most of our audience.
Yeah, all 12 of them.
All 12 of them. So today I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about the Marvel Netflix TV stuff. So originally it was announced back in November 2013. Marvel at the time called them like the flawed heroes of Hell's Kitchen. So the approach they're taking with this is it's not your big sci-fi, high-tech action stuff like Iron Man or Thor. It's New York City-based, average Joe superheroes.
Average Joe superheroes.
That was my term, actually. They didn't say that.
They didn't say that. They didn't say that. You're putting words in Marvel's mouth.
I have. So the four series they committed to doing were Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, plus a mini-series that brings all four of these characters together called The Defenders, which was, it's kind of like a budget Avengers.
Pound Shop Avengers,
which if they haven't done, we should absolutely copyright that now.
Are a bit more world-wisely. Carly, had you heard of Jessica Jones? Because I hadn't.
No, I hadn't, actually.
So you'd heard of Daredevil, because everyone loves
Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Bit of Ben Affleck, bit of Matt Murdock. So Daredevil I knew, Luke Cage I knew.
Right.
Didn't know Iron Fist, didn't know Jessica Jones.
Okay.
So why were they thrown into the mix all of a sudden? If their cultural impacts can't be as big as the others.
Let's look at Luke Cage and Iron Fist first. They were always kind of niche characters in the Marvel Universe. They both had their own series in the early 70s, neither of which really sort of made great numbers. So they combined both comics into one, which created Power Man and Iron Fist. So Luke Cage is Power Man and Iron Fist is Iron Fist.
Okay.
They became a team up and they became moderately successful through like the 70s and 80s. They're still kicking around the Marvel Universe. So they're never on the top of people's lists of favourite heroes, really.
So it's not our fault, then, that we've not heard...
No, them. I think for the average comic fan who isn't dyed-in-wool Marvel nut like me, it's totally fine not to be really aware of them.
I was going to use the term a bit of a shut-in.
Jessica Jones is out of all four of them, she's the most recent character. She's only about 15 years old. The actual comic itself is called Alias.
Obviously, I get that reference now.
Yeah. So in the TV series, obviously her private investigation outfit is called Alias. When the comic came out, Alias for TV series, starring Mrs. Ben Affleck, kind of came out at the same time, but it was
not to be confused
and purely coincidental, I believe.
What a small world.
Small world. So when Marvel and Netflix announced this deal, I think they were talking about calling it Alias, aka Jessica Jones, and it got kind of shortened down just to Jessica Jones.
That makes sense.
And Daredevil's like out of all the four of them, he's like the veteran hero. Again, you know, from the early 60s Marvel comics. Yeah, and again, we touched on the whole Ben Affleck movie, which... I wasn't saying it's Marmite, but I think more people probably revile it than actually like it. I think at the time I thought it had potential. I remember watching it recently and it is an absolute car crash. Awful early 2000 kind of emo rock music video.
I seem to sense that Carly might have enjoyed it.
No,
Fair enough.
It's like an MTV sort of soundtrack. Everything like a. I didn't like it.
Is that how Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner met? Was it on the set of that? Was that there?
I want to say so. Yeah. It's got a bit of a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
Should we just stop this and have a Ben Affleck podcast?
Didn't he meet the other Jennifer, Jenny from the Block, like that as well? Didn't he star in a movie with her and then they got together?
He did. Was it Gigi?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah, I remember him being in one of her videos. Was it Jenny from the Block? He was in that, right?
Yeah, because they were together when they filmed Jersey Girl, but yeah. I don't know whether that was before or after. It really has become a Ben Affleck gossip.
I'm fine with that. Let's roll with it.
So, given that Daredevil the movie wasn't universally loved, why do you think they started with Daredevil as opposed to anything else?
I think out of all four, he's still the most iconic of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think launching with him makes sense, regardless of our personal opinions of the movie. I think for Joe Public, he's still the one they're going to go, oh, I remember that movie. Whether they remember it fondly, probably not.
Were you excited about Daredevil?
I wouldn't say excited. I was interested by the deal. I thought it was quite a ballsy step. You know, Marvel saying we're going to commit to do 4 TV series exclusively through live streaming. I think it's pretty forward thinking. But I wouldn't say I was excited. I think I got excited when they Drew Goddard came on board.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the sort of production team who came on board, I was like, yeah, this sounds good. And one of the guys from Spartacus was involved.
Which is a major seller.
Yeah, and then the casting as well. Like, I think, was it Vincent D'Onofrio was cast?
Yeah, Fisk.
Yeah, quite early on. So that to me was like, you're going up another level.
Okay.
And then Charlie Cox, I liked from Boardwalk Empire, but you probably guys probably remember him as the lead, Tristan in Starlight.
Yeah, sure. It was completely dead to me until they announced Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was on my radar.
Yeah. Why is that, Neil? What is it about Rosario that...
She's really pretty. She always has been since Josie and the Pussycats. And she's been consistently pretty and my screen crush ever since.
Yeah. If you weren't married...
I'd ask her out for tea.
Yeah.
She is lovely.
She is lovely. I literally could do, and probably will do, Rosario Dawson podcast one day. But I didn't understand. I didn't have any semblance of who Night Nurse was. So I didn't understand when they announced who she was cast as, and it didn't really mean anything to me.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of niche, because so people who don't know, who aren't as nerdy as us, Night Nurse was a really old, I'm going to say 1940s, 50s Marvel Comics character who was a nurse at night fighting crime. But they haven't actually referred to her as that in the series. So she plays Claire Temple, who is a nurse, but I think only us would call her Night Nurse. I don't think there's ever been
She hasn't
name.
Been referred to as that, though, has she?
And I can't see that happening, I think, because it's so gritty and it would just, I don't know, look a bit cheesy.
So you don't think she'll eventually like fight crime herself? She is just an advocate.
I don't know. I don't see it. I think she's kind of like the Nick Fury character for the TV series. She kind of bridges them all together.
Okay.
So we know she's in Daredevil. We know she's been in Jessica Jones. She's been confirmed as being in Luke Cage. And her mother will be in Luke Cage as well.
Crumbs.
So I think they're going to give her a bit more time. And inevitably, she'll be an Iron Fist.
I like that, though. I like that about her character, is that, especially when it came around to Jessica Jones, she seemed to be quite a reluctant person to be involved in all of this superhero nonsense that's going on around her. She seemed reluctant to really help, what was it, Luke?
Yeah.
When he had his accident, and she did it anyway. And I would really like it if she didn't turn into some sort of odd crime-fighting night nurse. Yeah. I'd like it if she just stayed as she was, because she's quite cool.
Exactly. I think maybe she's supposed to be like our window into that world. I think if she became all fantastical, you kind of lose that. Kind of
There's game. Enough superheroes in this many
Don't need anymore.
Don't need anymore. It's too many. Loads
it's
in New York. Too many.
How many episodes did you shotgun when it first came out?
Daredevil.
Yeah.
So I started on the Friday it dropped. I think I binge loads on the Friday night. I got about 3-4 on the first night. I think I binged about another 4 on the Saturday. Took a break. Went to see John Wick, which, as it turned out, was like tonally just the same. So,
fair enough.
So I came out of that all like hyped up and stressed, and then watched more. And I think I must have finished it probably like the Sunday or Monday. Sunday night or Monday, I think.
So you did. You've arrived at the Netflix generation, and you've shotgunned an entire miniseries.
Yeah, crumbs. Absolutely. I'm not like a massive fan of violent content, but for me, it was like, oh god, they're going there. They're not shying away from it. It's really full on.
Mm.
Like, you know, you've seen it. It was. I think I saw one of those episodes of you, and we were like, oh.
So is that when it arrived for you
then? Yeah, I was like, this was a real kind of statement of intent. They weren't fanning about. It was good. And it was, you know, it wasn't going to be like universal PG rated content. It's going to be proper adult content with consequences. And that's something I felt was consistent all the way through that first series. Without going into too much detail, I mean, there were characters who I knew from the comics who, you know, a couple of them I was like, well, they're going to be in it for long haul. They're going to be in it for multiple series. And by the end of that first series, you know,
it's a feral body, Kane.
Yeah, it's feral. And I was just like, oh, okay, so that's good. You know, and I'm a big fan of using the comics as a source material, but not being beholden to it. People who get kind of bent out of shape that, oh, this character didn't do that in the comics. You know, why are they doing it now? It's like, well, look, you've got the comics. They're not going to change. Why do you want to see the same story again? It's not like a book where you've, you know, something like, I don't know, The Hunger Games or Lord of the Rings. That's kind of three or four books in a series and that's it.
Mm.
With Marvel Comics or any kind of comic book, these kind of long-form superhero stuff, you've got like 50, 60 years worth of material.
Fair enough.
And it's always going to evolve and change. So you know, why should the TVs and movies series be verbatim the storylines you've read as a kid?
Wow. I think also because it's a Netflix thing as well, it opens it up to a whole new audience. So you want to, you know, kind of like broaden it out a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've got, yeah, and I just think what they've done is brilliant. And it certainly seems to be paying off as far as audience figures go. I know they don't release figures, do they, Netflix? I think they're quite secretive.
They send them to me.
Do they?
Yeah, just to me.
Yeah.
Just to you.
Just to me. Yep. How did you watch it, Carly? How many episodes did you do?
I did all of them.
All of them.
And I did it in just under a week, I think.
Damn. Am I just getting old? Like, it took me a good couple of months to, like, do the whole thing.
You pace yourself, didn't you? Like, a couple of episodes here,
I'm
had a bit of a break.
Old for Netflix.
What? But you've got a wife,
that's
and you've
true.
Got a life.
and a
like
life.
That.
Both of those things, what rhyme?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, and she wasn't really into it either.
Was it because of the violence?
Yeah. Right. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, lovely, not a fighter.
Really, I thought it was refreshing. That's a bit of violence.
Yeah, not even the sight of a leather-clad man could win her over.
Was he leather-clad? It was only at the end, wasn't it? It was like the last episode, not the costume. How did you feel about the costume? How did you feel when you saw that at the end of the final episode? Where were you with that?
I just don't find a man in a little leather outfit particularly attractive.
So you've gone for like the attractiveness. I've gone for the did it look silly or not? That's fair enough. Did you find him attractive, Neil?
But yeah, I suppose it was very form fitting. No, it was a practical costume. It was fine. It was like you were waiting the whole series to see him in the icon, because it was quite a shock at first when he was running about with some tights on his head.
Yeah.
And though it made perfect sense, you were just waiting for that
transformation.
Golden, yeah, that hero moment where he's finally in the costume, and they teased that out well enough.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed they didn't have Evanescence crashing in at that point.
No.
To really throw back to the Affleck movie.
No. Do you think it dragged on? Do you think it was too many episodes? That was my problem with it. Like, it almost lost me halfway through.
Actually, you're right.
Hmm.
There was a little period of time.
Yeah, I think, actually, you know what, that almost kind of segues into Jessica Jones. I felt there was the same issue with that, where it kind of dipped just over halfway through. There's a couple of episodes they could have, like, shortened or just done away with.
Mm.
But that's
you get that all the time, though, don't you? I mean, you've got to have a couple of filler episodes in there.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess it depends on how you're watching it, because I binged it. I remember it not being so noticeable, but if I had to watch an episode a week, I guess you'd kind of be more aware that you've just had a bit of a treading water episode.
Mm.
But then it goes back to how I still think it was pretty solid. 13 episodes is fine. I remember the standard for US series used to be about 24 or 26 episodes.
Mm.
And that was, I remember the X-Files had those series and, you know, you had so many,
like
half a season would probably be the absolute pish.
It really was. I gave up on the X-Files very quickly.
Yeah.
Despite having a massive Gillian Anderson crush. Sorry, Rosario.
No, that's fine. Who didn't?
Before Rosario, there was Scully. But no, I did give up on it just because it was just constant round the houses filler.
Yeah.
There was a couple of episodes in this one, and I understand its character development, but Daredevil seemed to move a lot slower than Jessica Jones did.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back and watch Daredevil again, actually. It's been a while.
You can.
I can do that, can't
I? It's on demand. You can watch it whenever you want.
Whenever I want. In time for the second series, which drops next month now, isn't it? March 18th, the entire season 2.
Oh, God.
So I'm excited about that because I have a real soft spot for the Punisher.
Mm.
He's always been one of my favourite comic book characters, and I'm really excited at the prospect of them carrying on tonally with this character.
Yeah. So my money's on, I mean, is it John, I don't even know how to pronounce his last
name. Is it Berthnell? I don't know. Who cares when you look like that? You don't have to have your last name pronounced correctly.
Bedouce.
Crumbs. High praise indeed.
I watched Wolf of Wall Street for the first time the other night, and I didn't realise he was in it. So,
oh, he's lovely.
Rocking an awesome, like, biker goatee. I was quite impressed by that. But yeah, I think he, I mean, I remember him from Walking Dead. He played a hard-nosed bastard in that. So I think he would look the part.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if he goes down well with fans, I think it's a no-brainer that they'll do a Punisher series somewhere down the line. How they're going to fit that into a schedule, I don't know.
So that's going to be interesting, though, given obviously the whole Daredevil thing is he doesn't kill anyone.
Yeah.
Just gives them a proper beat-ins.
Yeah.
And I can't tell at this point whether he's going to team up with the Punisher or he'll be set against it because the big bad from Daredevil's now gone down. So they've lost their...
Wilson Fisk. He's back, right? I think he's back for this season.
I don't think you're going to see Fisk until the very end.
Right. So we've got Elektra. They kind of teased her in the first season when you had like a flashback to him being in high school with Foggy. And they mentioned the girl he was going out with, the Greek girl he was going out with, which I don't know if they've actually said her name, but I think that's a callback to Elektra, who's going to be in this series as well, who's like the assassin and love of Matt Murdock's life.
He seems to hang about with a lot of people who kill for someone who doesn't kill.
I can relate to that.
I suppose that that's kind of weird because like they live in a world with the Avengers, but when you think about it, the Avengers don't really kill. Or they've renounced their killing ways anyway.
Yeah, and it's kind of... Are there any murders or any serious deaths in it apart from, you know, who in Age of Ultron?
Always under duress or under mind control or something. But every character has renounced their killing ways.
Yeah, and like Coulson got killed off in the Avengers movie, but he's obviously back for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
Yeah, so, yeah. Scarlett Johansson's trying to change her ways.
Yeah.
Hawkeye was under control from the pokey stick.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's had a change of heart.
Yeah.
And Hulk only bashes monsters.
Apparently so.
Despite all that destruction, everyone manages to always get out of the way. So it's kind of weird. It'll be weird having a character in the same universe who just wantonly shoots people a lot.
Yeah.
Would be his superpower.
Exactly.
Putting lots of bullets.
A high body count.
Yeah. And maybe they can get away with that where the Avengers movies can.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
We will see. But the good news is he's fit. So fit.
Yeah, he's fit.
There we go.
He's got these extra senses going on, heightened senses, so that's interesting.
If you had to choose between Daredevil and the Punisher in terms of fitness...
Oh, God. That's the hardest question of all.
We can double back to that one.
I think I'm going to go with Daredevil.
Really? Mm. He's a good guy?
Because what I was actually going to say that I really, really like about not just Matt Murdock as Matt Murdock but also as Daredevil is that he's so morally confused, and I'm not religious in the slightest, but I like the religious aspect to it where, I mean, even at the beginning it touches on that and you can tell that he's deeply confused about what his role is just in general. He's a lawyer and then he kicks butt in the evening. He doesn't actually really kill anyone, but I would like to see it that he starts just going on murder sprees and just does the absolute opposite. Because I think it would like tie in really well with his moral grey zones and the constant questioning of himself that he does. And I can't remember what episode it was, but he did a bit of a speech to, what is it, Karen?
Karen Page.
Yeah, and he was saying about how, I'm paraphrasing, but he was going into detail about how the world that we live in isn't simple and we're constantly being questioned and pushed into situations where we might not act appropriately at times, but as long as you're doing it for the greater good in general, which is what everyone says when they're being dicks, that you kind of justify it to yourself somehow. But I like that about him, and that he that's like my favourite aspect, I think, of the whole show.
Well, I kind of related to that, because when I dress up as a vigilante of the weekend,
you with tights on your face,
tights on my face, these are the kind of questions I ask myself.
You can't really leave off Daredevil without talking about your man
Wilson Fisk.
Big Fisky.
For me, that made the series. I think the way he was presented, the way he was kind of teased, his performance, it's probably, out of all the superhero movies I've kind of seen, or TV series I've seen, he's probably the strongest sort of villain character out of all of them, because it was kind of like a three-dimensional performance. It wasn't just a I'm a bad guy. here are my nefarious schemes. It was kind of a well-rounded, you kind of saw his point, his aims, what he wanted to do. He wanted to clean up New York. It kind of made sense.
Yeah, well, there's some quote who I can't remember who it's attributed to. Sorry, long dead person. You know, the greatest villains are the ones that think they're the heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I got off him. And yeah, it was an incredible performance. It really was.
Yeah, his little tics and how nervous he got when he was, considering he was like a ruthless killing machine, could, crush them with their bare hands. That's something I actually got from that as well. You could believe he could break Daredevil in two just with his bare hands without any superpowers or whatever. Nervousness around Vanessa, was quite...
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Go on, what are you going to say?
I think that Vanessa was amazing.
Yeah. Total Lady Macbeth, right? It had that kind of...
Yeah, and I think that, if anything, like, she, for me, brought out, which was obviously intended, but she brought out the softer and kinder side of Fisk, which was totally intentional, it was clear. But also the weaker side of him, because to me, there were a couple of occasions where it seemed that she was actually the one who was the more ruthless of the two.
Yeah, and that kind of really came to light towards the end of the series, I think. And I think that's, you think Fisk won't be in it till the end of the second season, but I've got a feeling that's going to be an undercurrent running through most of the series, the two of them. I'll be surprised if they're not in it, but I think that's going to be, I think the red herring is going to be the Punisher and Elektra, and I think the undercurrent's going to be Fisk and Vanessa manipulating behind the scenes.
Do you think that from two men's points of views, do you think that she genuinely cared for Fisk the way that he thought she did, or the way she was?
Ooh. I think so. I think that in the way that's, well, unless they're going to do like an about face and show us scenes we haven't seen, I think from what was presented, definitely. But she's clearly got more of a side to her that he's brought out. What do you think?
No, that's very fair. Like, she's psychotic.
Yeah.
As is he. I don't know who's using who. That's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Let's tune in March 18th and hopefully find out.
I mean, from my point of view, I think she came off like a master manipulator. I think that she can see his weaknesses and she can see that he's damaged. I think she's attracted to that sort of lifestyle that he has. He's got this pimping apartment.
Yeah.
And it caters to the circles that she obviously runs in. But that violent element to him is obviously something that she's attracted to. She never really seemed to, I don't know, she never seemed, I mean, if I was involved with a criminal mastermind, I think it would be my intention, again, it would be my intention to not necessarily change that person, but just, I wouldn't want them to be in harm's way. I wouldn't want them, but that wouldn't make good TV, that would be really boring. but it just seemed to me that she was stoking the fire a lot and pushing him, just gently pushing him. And I think she knew what she was doing.
Fair enough. But he does make a mean omelette by the looks of it as well.
That's
a long scene there. It was like, look at my omelette making skills. So,
Do you remember that scene when, I don't know if I can say it or not, but that scene, but I'm going to anyway, that scene when she dresses him.
Yeah.
That, for me, really stood out, because it was like, this is going to sound like I thought about it a little bit too much, but it was almost like she was dressing him for war, like she was sending him out. Like, he was her little thing to just do all the grunt work.
Do you know what? I didn't really have an exceptional urge to rewatch Daredevil until you've pointed this out, and now I want to rewatch it specifically to get more of an opinion on that.
Okay. So it's done. It's going to happen.
Bam. You've made me think, bam! That's the
what I'm here for.
Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. Excellent.
Moving on, to Jessica Jones.
Let's go for it.
I'm glad we're all sitting down, because fuck me, that show was dark. Yeah. I was not expecting something so bloody dark.
And so for context, like, Neil's literally just finished watching it, right? Like, a few days ago.
Yeah. Just relentlessly, like, Christ.
Yeah. What's your take on it, Carly? I think you watched it pretty much straight after it came out as well, didn't you, I think?
Yeah. I really, really like Jessica Jones as a character and also as a whole. And it's like her character and that show is probably something that I could talk about for hours. I really liked it.
If only there was a podcast where you could do that.
It could just be me. Bah, 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 Jessica Jones. Bah, bah, bah. Feminism.
Brilliant. Well, we're obviously fans of it, so that's kind of...
Oh yeah, like yeah. I was not expecting to be blown away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not detracting from it, just I wasn't ready for, like, I didn't think it would, like, grab me the way it did, and like I really couldn't put it down.
Mm.
Not in the, like, Daredevil, I was happy to take an episode or two at a time, but I just simply had to know what was going to happen next.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I binged it in the opening weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Kristen Ritter's fantastic. I really liked her.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I loved her from Breaking Bad. She played Jane in Breaking Bad, like psycho girlfriend, which you haven't seen Breaking Bad, have you?
I haven't seen Breaking Bad. I had no frame of reference, so she was a complete unknown to me.
I know she was in a sitcom which tanked, was it? The Don't Trust the Bee from Apartment 23 or something. But all I remember from that is it had Dawson from Dawson's Creek as himself. Is it James Vanderbeek? It was basically James Vanderbeek lived in her apartment block, but he was like an obnoxious version of himself. So I remember from that, but I remember watching like an episode and thinking, this is just terrible.
She's worth so much more as well.
Yeah, and I think this really I think this really kind of showed off her acting chops, really. I think she's definitely I think it's a general consensus that she was knockout on this. I don't think
there wasn't a weak link in the whole cast.
Yeah, I thought Tennant was great. And I think you're not a massive fan, are you, Carly, when it comes to Tennant?
Not really, but definitely in the Jessica Jones TV show, I felt that he was sort of perfect, really, because he is sort of creepy looking.
Sorry, David.
I mean, I would, but...
Yeah.
But he is, he's an odd-looking guy, but he plays sinister so well.
Yeah.
But was he that sinister? Just another little messed up boy type character. But
it's a very good point. They do address the fact that he has no moral compass because he's had no one to raise him.
And it's, I think, well, yeah, I guess there's the whole. So obviously Jessica's character is suffering from post traumatic stress disorder, and when she has one of those many conversations with Kilgrave, he, if I remember right. Entire way for the series, never takes responsibility for what he's done, never acknowledges that what he did was incorrect. And it was one thing I liked about it, it didn't have to overstate it, but clearly it was a form of rape. And he refused to acknowledge it. And there's one point, I think, where he says, oh, I hate that word, you know, don't use that word, you know, it's just, it's not that. And it's, I was, yeah,
it
absolutely is. Yeah, and it's,
well, he blamed her as well, you know, like, I did it all for you, adding that extra layer of pressure on top of her after everything that she'd gone through.
Which is horrible.
Yeah. So I thought it was a very brave direction to go in, and it's, you know, it could have been so ham-fisted the way they kind of executed that.
No, I have always found that to be a particularly squeamish subject. I really didn't, like, as soon as the penny dropped, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get on with this. And so I was waiting for his big comeuppance. He didn't pull any punches, which I'm glad, but I was waiting for the final retribution. I'm like, I couldn't believe they'd made me care and invest time in, like, a character that, like, would do that.
Yeah.
And I was so ready for the big offing.
And it was a trick. It was a good trick. You know, I didn't say you care about him, but you kind of understood him. And
it's just a fascinating character.
And again, that's what I think goes back to what I said earlier about Vincent D'Onofrio and Daredevil. Yeah, what Marvel have done with the Netflix series, they've kind of created really strong villains that you kind of, you care about, whether you, you know,
warm to them
at a specific time, but you kind of understand, you kind of care, and you kind of see where they're coming from. And that's a difficult thing to pull off, I think.
I don't know whether it was an oversight, but I think they explained his background a lot better than hers.
Yeah.
Like, I got the impression you didn't really start to find out about Jessica Jones until much, much later in the episodes.
Yeah, but I think that's queued up for a second series, isn't it? Because there's the whole subplot where her friend Patsy's investigating where Jessica maybe got her powers from, and there's that subplot with it. I think it's called the IHG Company, which that Dr. Kozlov guy who ends up giving Simpson
the red pills
yeah. and stuff. So there's that's kind of it. It does seem that that's all tied together. Whether that's just for Jessica Jones season two, whether that's an overarching
Defenders thing,
I don't know. It's kind of
maybe
never know.
Maybe I don't feel he did her flashbacks particularly well. Like there was no sort of like younger version. Well, there was younger child Jessica Jones, but like I didn't understand the passage of time of her and Patsy being adopted sisters and trying out the whole superheroine thing before.
Yeah,
like I didn't understand how much time had passed between the two.
It's a bit vague. I guess they just felt that wasn't so urgent. Mm. But hey, you've got Rebecca De Mornay as an evil adoptive mum, so that's got a good bit of cast, isn't it?
Good casting.
So,
yeah, Christ, it was dark.
It was dark. So where can they go for season two? What would you guys like to see in that? I mean, out of all the series, out of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, for me it seems the toughest one to kind of pull off a second season.
Yeah. Because like Tennant's gone, they can't bring Kilgrave back, even in cheap comic-y ways.
Yeah. I think I read an article where they said he could come back, but it will be in her head again.
I don't know. I think it's done now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think it will be a bit meh, but he was great. I think we just have to. Or flashbacks. They said about flashbacks, so that because I think his history is something that's probably going to be explored more, like the fact that his parents are doing experiments on other kids as well. And I don't know, I didn't work out whether what they were doing was linked to what Kozlov was doing with these kind of medication, whether it's completely two different subplots, whether that's going to be something else.
We'll find out.
Yeah, because there's like, was Luke Cage's wife, Reva.
Yeah,
and she had this hard drive of all of Kilgrave's childhood experiments on, so it's like who's she, what's she got to do with this, is she connected? And again, that's something that probably won't be looked at until Luke Cage, but it's quite clever how they're trying to bring all this together.
I really, just going off a little bit, I really really liked the relationship between Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, that kind of multi-layered relationship, because she's very much like, she's not open to relationships and she's really damaged. She's just processing what's happened to her with the whole Kilgrave situation. And then she kind of comes across Luke Cage. And I know that we've spoken about it, that in the comics they are a little bit more graphic about one of their first encounters, which is alluded to in the show.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah.
I like it. And I like that there's that layer that she knows her involvement with his wife, when she finds that out, it's like you're almost like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Now so she's got to make a decision.
Yeah. We can talk about that. It's basically, people who don't know what we're alluding to, in the first issue of Alias, the comic that Jessica Jones first appeared in, there's a scene in it where basically she gets drunk at the bar. It's kind of very similar to what was shown in the show and ends up going back to Luke's and having sex. And what's kind of hinted at, and what people who've read it kind of take from it, is that she kind of offers him anal sex.
Sweet Christmas.
And he takes it.
Well, he does, yeah. Well, he would do. It's rude. It's rude to refuse.
She offers.
Yeah, anecdotally, apparently, the original printer for that comic refused to print it, and they had to go to a different printer because they were, like, so outraged.
Crumbs.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very adult comic in a very adult situation.
Exactly.
I genuinely thought you were going to talk about the fact that we didn't know it was like Luke Cage's wife when we first saw the photo. But now you've cleared up the anal mystery.
Anal mystery.
Is a cheeky bonus.
And on that note, shall we move on? So I think with season two for Jessica, I'd like to see a bit more detectiving, that's a word, or a bit, like she is an investigator, and I know that the Kilgrave stuff was a big plot. So I think it'd be quite interesting to see her do a bit more investigations. Maybe go a bit more like Sherlock TV series, some kind of stuff like that. It'd be quite fun.
She needs a new nemesis, that's for sure. Do you think her powers are going to grow?
I don't know. I mean,
no, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. She's kind of not. She's superhuman, but she's kind of not like major powers. That's something in the comics they kind of touch on, where she is, you know, super strength, can sort of fly by jumping, you know, but she's kind of not that amazing. Mm. She's like a mediocre superhero, which is why she kind of jacks it in and becomes like a private eye. So I think
that's the charm.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, exactly, because not everyone can be Thor or Iron Man.
No.
And that's the best thing about her as well, though. Like, her name's Jessica Jones. It's all fairly normal. And she hasn't got some ridiculous suit. In fact, I get the impression that if she was offered some sort of a suit, she'd probably say no. I like that, because like she, you could walk past her down the street and you wouldn't even know. And that's the appeal to her, is that she's totally normal. She's smoking hot and she's got issues.
Yeah, well, totally. I mean, yeah, picking up on the first point you've made there, which is the most important, that she is smoking hot. so where Neil has his Rosario crush, I've got my Kristen Ritter crush.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. We'll say from Breaking Bad, I just thought, I don't know what it is. It's like,
well, she's a good time as well. Like, she goes down the bar, she likes to drink whiskey, her house is a bit of a mess, she doesn't have a cat.
Yes, that is a major
she's
one.
She's the whole package.
We could talk a lot about women and cats, but we won't. That's not a comic-related podcast.
We'll wait for your Tinder podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about Tinder later.
Yeah.
Tinder Tales, that's it.
Oh, that hasn't been
copyrighted. Taylor's Tinder Tales.
That's it. Shit, yeah.
So bridging on, Sweet Christmas, it's Luke Cage. Good casting.
Yeah, Mike Holt was great. I mean, I didn't really know much about him beforehand. Apparently he appeared in, is it The Good Wife? American drama show, apparently was in that.
Mm.
I recognised him from, he appeared in like a live action miniseries for the Halo video game. So yeah, wasn't really familiar with him. I thought he was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He had more of a part in Jessica Jones than I expected. I knew he was going to be in it, I just thought it might be a bit of a spit in the cough. Like walking in, going, hi, I'm Luke Cage, and then walking out again.
Yeah.
But he was in it. A fair amount, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really, really interested about that. The series started filming back in September.
Okay.
Not much is known about it. Again, it's being filmed in New York, like they all are, to kind of keep it uniform. What we do know is apparently the series takes place before he got his powers, so before Jessica Jones.
Well, so you're gonna find out how, or be shown how he got his powers then.
Yeah, and I guess you get to see how he meets Reva. How he ends up getting the bar that we see him when we first meet him. There's some established names signed up for the series. Alfred Woodward and Sons of Anarchy's Thea Rossi, who played Juice.
Okay.
I don't know if you watched Sons of Anarchy, did you? You did. They're also going to feature the Misty Knight character, who was a kind of police detective and a martial artist. She had a bionic arm, actually, in the comics, but I don't think we're going to get that in the series.
Probably not.
Yeah, and she was a member of a duo called Daughters of the Dragon, which is the whole martial arts stuff. So maybe they're going to, you know, build her up over the few series we've got coming up. Maybe she'll rock up in Iron Fist as well.
It sounds like a perfect bridging character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, not a lot is known. I've got a feeling we'll probably see it hit Netflix probably in the summer.
Yeah. My one takeaway, my one negative with Luke Cage from Jessica Jones is the fight scenes weren't as well done as Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, it was all fast cuts. It just felt a bit like when you used to watch Mr. T beat people up in the A-Team.
Yeah.
It was like, so you've got this deadly, I was going to say deadly serious, but you've got this severe storyline and lots of dark overtones, and the Luke Cage fights were just kind of a bit PG-13.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't remember them, which I guess says a lot, because I remember like the Daredevil fight scene, like the corridor scene. That was one of the things that really kind of was like, yes, you know.
Well, Nick Cage, he had his standout fight scene in his bar, wasn't it? When Jessica Jones saw it from through the window, and she came in and got involved. And you're thinking, you've got two people with extra human strength. They should be knocking them down like bowling balls and doing some really interesting things. And there was a bit of a moment where they were kind of bouncing off each other. But I agree with Neil. I just sort of felt a little bit deflated after it. I wanted a little bit more.
Maybe they're saving that for Luke Cage's series.
Yeah, I would hope so. I'd hope so. That's going to be the making and breaking of it.
Mm.
So I'm kind of worried that he won't have his powers straight away. It'll be interesting. would be interesting.
Because he's so impressive looking, isn't he?
Indeed, quite a specimen.
Oh god, here we go again.
Yeah.
So all I know of Iron Fist is the internet and all its wisdom are complaining that it's not an Asian American talent that's being cast. Or they're demanding that it should be. Whereas the actual character is like a Caucasian blonde guy, isn't he?
Yeah, in the comics he is. Danny Rand is white American Caucasian. So I don't know where I sit on this. I mean, I get is it positive discrimination? You know, trying to use a political correct term. I guess, you know, I wouldn't have a problem if they did cast an Asian American. I don't know. They haven't cast him. I think the only thing they've actually announced is a showrunner.
Yeah.
And the executive producer on it. It's a guy called Scott Buck, who's written for 6 Feet Under and Rome. Never seen Rome.
Really?
You're a fan of it.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. But he was also, this guy, Scott Buck, was also showrunner and exec producer on the last 4 seasons of Dexter, which kind of rang alarm bells for me a little bit. Just a little bit. Because Dexter, for me, peaked at season 4, which was the one with John Lithgow. And like one of the most brutal end of season cliffhangers, which I won't, if you've never seen, I won't say. But for me, that was like amazing. And then, you know, seasons 5 through to 8 of Dexter were kind of hit and miss. There's a few good episodes, and it was kind of like, urgh. So this guy was executive producer on those 4 seasons, which sounds a bit like a poison chalice, really. But according to a statement that came out, his take on Iron Fist blew Jeff Loeb away, who's like the exec producer and head of Marvel TV. So whatever his take was on it was so good that they were like, yeah, he's definitely the right guy for the job. So, yeah, but again, we don't really know much about it. The synopsis they've said is, you know, after years of being absent, Danny Rand returns to New York to fight against the criminal element, much like his future teammates. And he's got kung fu mastery and kind of mystical abilities of the Iron Fist. It's kind of, it's like, you know, it's a kung fu movie. It's a comic of its time when it was created, when Iron Fist was created. This is when Bruce Lee was, you know, the hot thing, the hot ticket. So Marvel literally just jumped on that and went, okay, we need like a martial artist. I've never had a major problem with the character. It's never really inspired me. Although that said, Matt Fraction did a run called The Immortal Iron Fist, which is definitely worth checking out. I think they've done collections in books. That's probably only about 10 years old. But that's really good stuff. So that's kind of all we know about Iron Fist, really. So they haven't cast it yet. I think that's going to be something that's going to happen soon. So I imagine they're going to want to start filming this year.
Soon as. Hopefully you'll pop up in season 2s and season 1s of everything else that's been on.
Well, yeah, I don't know how it's all going to pan out. Exactly, because one thing I haven't got from or understood from Daredevil or Jessica Jones is when it all kind of takes place. Whether, you know, when we meet Claire Temple in Jessica Jones, she's met Matt Murdock. But, you know, is it a matter of like a few days before, a week before, or is it a massive time jump? It's kind of working out when this stuff... The vibe I got was it's almost happening concurrently.
Yeah.
So when Jessica's running around New York, taking on Kilgrave, Matt Murdock's got his tights around his head. tracking down Wilson Fisk.
Smacking people with sticks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Serves them right for being bad.
Yeah.
All right, so we don't know much about Iron Fist. What do we know about what's coming after that?
Well, they've set up quite a few plot lines in Daredevil and Jessica Jones that we don't know yet whether they're going to be paying off in their own respective series, whether they're going to be overarching storylines. I mentioned that IHG kind of combat-enhanced soldiers that were from Jessica Jones, whether that's going to be something that's picked up in the next season of Jessica Jones. I can see that kind of crossing over to Daredevil as well, because like the Simpsons character was originally in the comics a character called Nuke, who had an American flag tatted on his face and was literally popping pills. So he's a Daredevil villain. So I guess there's a reason for it to cross over. There's loads of mystical martial arts, ninja elements in Daredevil that were left hanging. And was it that woman, was her name Madame Gao? And obviously she's clearly a hard ass as well. And from what I know, we need to watch Daredevil again. But I got the impression she's supposed to be a lot older than you're led to believe. She's got some kind of power. So I wonder whether that, for me, that kind of always felt that was kind of leading into some mystical elements to Iron Fist. But who knows? I guess, you know, we've only got a month or so to wait for Daredevil Season 2, so that stuff might be picked up. For real nerdy trivia buffs, in Daredevil, there was an insignia for a character called Steel Serpent, who's like a villain for Iron Fist. And that's kind of in the background. That could just be like an Easter egg, but or it could be foreshadowing something that's coming up. Yeah, and I guess we've kind of spoken about Luke Cage's wife, Reva, and her connection to it all. That, to me, felt like was something left hanging. And again, whether that's something for Jessica Jones or whether that's something for Luke Cage's own series.
All right, so what about Poundland Avengers then, where it all ties together in Defenders? Do we just know that it's coming?
We know it's coming. I mean, the original plan was you're going to have like one series of each character, and then you have, I think it's like 8 episode of a Defenders miniseries. But then you've got season 2 of Daredevil, and then you've got Jessica Jones season 2 announced as well. So where does that all fit in? I mean, it's great for us, and we get to binge on this, but imagine for like a story planner, it's a bloody nightmare trying to work out how this is all going to go together.
So my one thing that I really care about above all others is, are you going to see any of these characters in the Marvel movies?
That's the question all the people involved in this get asked. We talk about Infinity War, aren't we? The two-part Avengers movie. I think you'll get them in a background shot. Like if there's some kind of big battle taking place, you'll have these guys on the ground level in New York beating up criminals or whatever. But I think that'll be it. I would be very surprised if you see them having like a major speaking parts.
Yeah.
I think it'll be like a montage shot of some big shit going down across the world, and then you get like a New York shot and you get these guys in it.
Yeah.
Are you happy with that? Would that be enough for you?
I don't know. I just think it jars. This is so grounded and so gritty. And even though they do refer to
the event
that happened in New York, you know, and it's kind of, I remember speaking to a friend of mine actually who has only watched Jessica Jones and she's going to start watching Daredevil. And I remember she's getting into Jessica Jones and she got about a few episodes in, and I had to tell her, I said, there's going to be an episode coming up which acknowledges something that happened in the Avengers movie that you haven't seen. So I had to kind of explain, basically there was a big fight in New York, aliens came down, trashed most of New York, loads of people died.
The usual.
Because I did think when I watched that episode, I thought, if you haven't seen the Avengers movies and stuff, you're going to go, what the fuck is this all about? You know, I don't understand this. So I segue there. What was the question again?
Are you going to be happy with just the fleeting cameo?
Yeah, that was it. So I was saying about how tonally it's very, very different. I think if these guys rucked up with the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, so you've got a talking raccoon, for me, it's going to be like, you've got Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, then you've got like a talking raccoon, a guy in a metal suit, technological suit, and you've got a Norse god, and even, you know, real hardcore fantasy sci-fi elements. I just think, I can't see it working. I think
it safe to say that it could be going too far?
If they do that, I think so. Well, what do you guys think?
I'm getting a bit fed up with all these crossovers, to be honest.
Controversial.
Let's not have her back on the podcast.
That's it. Why is that? Why is that?
For those who follow the movies and have done from the beginning, the whole Marvel franchise, and I think that for those who have read the comics and understand how all of these characters fit in with each other, it is interesting. But I just think that I would like it, like you said, if you saw Jessica Jones in the background not really doing too much, but it's kind of like a blink and you miss it. Oh shit, there she is. But I think that if she had like a major part in a huge blockbuster movie that's going to be coming out and it's yet another crossover, I just think there's enough crossovers.
Yeah, but I think they were the Russo brothers who are going to be steering the Infinity War story were talking about, I think they're talking about like 57 characters they're kind of juggling. I mean, so, not all of these are going to have major parts, but it's a lot to play with.
What do you think, Neil?
I'll be quite happy if we get just a shot of them punching something in the face.
Yeah.
In New York.
An Easter egg for people who...
Yeah, just linger over it. Doesn't have to be more than a 10-second hero shot of them all just working together.
Yeah.
Explain it. Just have it as it is and then it's done.
Just a little sort of like butterfly wing flap that you know will eventually help the greater good. Want them to be acknowledged.
I totally agree with you. I think that's... Yeah. I'll be happy with that. But at the moment, I'm just kind of happy we're getting quality TV, because this is probably another something else we could talk about another time, but I found Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like a massive letdown. Real disappointment. It's got better. I've started watching season 3 again and it's still... I don't know, it just feels lightweight. It's not, you know, having Joss Whedon involved, I was like really excited about. I thought it's going to be like Buffy with spies, but it's just not.
Do not even start.
Not a fan.
What?
Not a fan. What?
A Buffy?
Oh, no, I thought you were going to go, like, have a go about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No.
No.
No, Buffy's, like, it's on a pedestal.
Best TV show ever.
Oh, crumbs, that's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
And on that note...
That's it. I think we've kind of spoken all we can about Marvel and Netflix for now.
Indeed. Thanks, Marvel and Netflix.
Yeah. I guess we'll be talking about this again in about a month's time once we've binged season 2 of Daredevil.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Part 2.
Part 2. Be there. Bam. All right. Carly, where can people find you if they want to shout at you on the internet?
Oh.
Carly's under wraps.
No, my Twitter handle, I think, is Carly Moxie Kim. There which isn't that hard to find.
If you can find her,
yeah,
much like the A-Team, then perhaps you can...
Whatever the A-Team did.
Whatever the A-Team did.
It's like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Exactly.
There we go. She's out there waiting for your tweets. Stu, where can people find you?
You can find me, Stunami, on Twitter.
All right. And you can find me, Neil Gortz, on Twitter.
But even better than that,
yeah,
you can find the BAM Comics Cast on Twitter.
There you go. Give that a follow.
Give it a follow. But yeah, thanks for listening. And we'd be genuinely interested in hearing your comments on the podcast and your thoughts on Marvel and Netflix. What you want to see, what you don't want to see, what you liked about it. But yeah, give us a follow on Twitter. Give us a like on iTunes. Give us a review. Thank you. And we'll see you again soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was a cautious goodbye from Carly there.
It was. All right.